I feel like I'm down the hall at Shom, going from Elton John to Bruce Springsteen every Thursday around 5:45 from Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles, Montreal native Alan Walsh. How are you?
Good, Mitch. Good afternoon.
So, you told us the backstory a few weeks back of Andre Pavlik's new mask or masks featuring Bruce Springsteen and the iconic cover of the Born to Run album with Bruce leaning on Clarence Clemens, right?
That was breaking news. It had not been disclosed that that was his new mask, and it was only after we talked about it that I tweeted some photos before it even was delivered to him.
What is his record with that mask on?
Five starts, 5 wins.
He's unbeaten with the boss.
Yes, he is.
And he's taken his game, I would say certainly this year to another level, but not you, this is what you expect from him.
It is what I expect from him. He's put in the work. Many people may not know that he spends a large part of his summers for the last 5 years in Montreal, training at our Octagon camp, and he's been playing real well. The team has been playing well in front of him, and they seem to be in a real good place right now.
There's a lot of people who study stats and go a lot deeper than I. Certainly, you can't apply to goaltenders what they attempt to apply to skaters. But as you know, the stats crowd out there, they're not a big fan of your guy as a goalie.
If I hear one more guy talk about regression to the mean, I might strangle him.
I hope you have a good lawyer.
I know I have a number or two that I can call upon somebody if I ever need the right guy. But Andre has grown into his position over the years. I think the Jets have a draft and develop model that players have matured to a certain point. They've made a couple of key trades over the years, like Dustin Byfuglien and Michael Frolik, both Octagon clients, by the way. And the team now is exciting. They're young, and they've gotten great goaltending from both goalies, Michael Hutchison and Andre Pavlik. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
Andre Pavlik getting the start tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We're with Alan Walsh now. Another one of your clients. I wasn't planning to talk about Jiří Sikáč again.
Not again. He played every single week.
Well, there is a reason for this one, and he's coming off the Ducks are kind of scuffling, and Bruce Boudreau clearly is not happy with the overall game of the team. And Jiří was on the fourth line in their last loss, played 6.5 minutes, which was a season low for him. So they're going into Boston. What's happening tonight?
Well, it appears that Yuri's on the first line with Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry going into the game.
So he must be doing like somersaults here in Boston.
Well, he Yuri's happy to be playing, and his happiness level doesn't change game by game. He's enjoying his time in Anaheim. He has great rapport with the coaches. He's still getting to know his teammates. But this road trip is the second extended road trip where he's able to hang with the guys more on the road as opposed to everybody going their own way at home. And, when you play for Bruce, what he tends to do more than most other coaches in the league is shuffle his lines in game. So this may be the line that he starts with. It may be the line that he plays most of the first period with. But all bets are off where he's going to be playing and where everybody's going to be playing, come the second period.
Earlier today, about 40 minutes ago on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Alan was in Cheska Budějovice and Pilsen when Andre Pavlik was his draft year, and Canada knocked the Czech Republic out on a goal, a seeing eye shot, and I think it was from Christopher Letang off of Guillaume Latendresse's backside that beat Andre Pavlik in overtime. that put Canada into the gold medal game against Phil Kessel, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, and the rest of the high-flying Americans where the Canadians lost. But Alan Walsh had a lot of clients in those games, I can tell you. I saw him a lot over there.
Do you remember the year?
Do I remember the year? I remember the game. I remember talking to Pierre in between periods of several of the games, and and I unfortunately remember the goal.
Yeah.
But if I was going to pick a year, I would say 2004.
I think you're off by one. I think it was 05, but I think you, yeah, but that, anyway, that's, so how often, I mean, you do seem to have a rapport. I mean, like, which comes first here? You guys at Octagon Hockey going out in search of players from a particular area in Europe, or because of your track record, they come to you? How does this work?
We have offices set up all over Europe that have been set up for quite a while now. So we have an office in Prague. And we have local partners in the Czech Republic that are very active in hockey circles, acting as agents in the Czech Republic and through Greater Europe. We have agents situated in an office in Stockholm, Helsinki, Moscow, and Switzerland. So really we are all over Europe. Myself and several of the agents I work with at Octagon spend a lot of time over in Europe, going to the major tournaments, not just the World Under 18 Championships or the World Juniors if they happen to be in Europe, but Five Nations tournaments, Four Nations tournaments, Under 16, Under 17. But it's the people on the ground over in Europe who are initiating relationships and working with families. And we'll go over there and we'll meet the players and we'll meet their families. But there really isn't much for Alan Walsh to do for a 16-year-old playing in Europe. And I think it's nice that you have an established relationship going forward, but there doesn't really need to be much day-to-day contact with a 16-year-old hockey player, in my opinion.
When you talk to your clients, and you told us earlier you're in contact with them in one form or another on an almost daily basis, when you talk to your clients, newer clients, older clients, how much does the concussion issue come up?
It comes up a lot. I've noticed, and over the last 4 or 5 years, it comes up with much more frequency. You know, one would think that maybe I'm the person always bringing it up, and it's not true. It is a major issue amongst the players today. They're talking about it amongst themselves. They're talking about it with the NHLPA. They're talking about it with their agents. They're talking about it with their wives and with their families. And I'd say it comes up on an almost daily basis with some client. I've had, I don't know, maybe 10 clients, 12 clients concussed this year. And I've taken it upon myself to meet personally with the top concussion experts in North America, talking about treating concussions, talking about concussion prevention, talking about dealing with players who unfortunately sometimes get into that vortex of extended concussion syndrome, and guys who are out a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months. David Perron had a lengthy concussion situation that went on for the better part of an entire season. Antoine Vermette had a situation back in junior where a concussion was actually misdiagnosed and he was out for an entire year. There's all kinds of different issues swirling around the whole concussion issue, from retired players now in their 40s and 50s who can't function in their daily life to players now in their 20s thinking, I've had three concussions, am I going to end up like that in 15 years?
Well, what is their biggest, like, what do you find yourself, are you guys concerned that the NHL present day, we're aware of the suit, and we'll talk about that next week. I suspect there may be another development or two based on Rick Westhead's reporting that the former players believe the NHL is stonewalling. But in terms of today, do the players believe that the National Hockey League is doing enough today to prevent concussions?
That's a great question, and I don't know if I have an answer to that. I think that people's opinions vary all over the map right now. Is there enough being done? I honestly don't have an answer to that. I don't think any of my clients have the answer to that. Only time is going to tell. It certainly is a developing science. But the people who say, well, just trust the league to do the right thing, I think history has shown that that's a very misguided view.
All right. How about this tweet just as we're wrapping up this conversation from Montreal Wings fan? With all this concern about concussions, you'd think players would stop concussing each other.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. And it's been a major source of discussion with players, with the NHLPA. It's to me, personally, not speaking for anybody else, it is disheartening to see at times the lack of respect on the ice afforded one player to another. It is disheartening. And part of, I think, dealing head-on with that issue is education. And educating to the player, educating each of the players as to the consequences of, you know, sticking out a chicken wing and hitting a guy on the chin. And I think that players today are very well educated on that. They are sat down. They've seen film. They're shown clips. There is widespread discussion in meetings with agents, NHLPA personnel, player to player. And I think it's still a work in progress. It is getting much better, but there's still much more progress to be made.
Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll see if Andrei Pavlik can make it six straight without a loss with the boss on his mask. Thanks, Alan. We'll do it again in a week.
You got it, Mitch. Look forward to it.